Let me begin by asking a question this morning. Have you ever been in a place where you've experienced true darkness? A place when it's really dark, where you really can't see anything. I ask that because living in London, it's never really that dark here, is it? Let's be honest, when was the last time you actually really needed a torch to go anywhere in London? If you drive, when was the last time you actually used the full beam headlights on your car when driving around London? You just don't. It's not really dark, is it, here, in this 24-hour city? But I guess we have been in places where it is really dark. I was just conscious when we were on the sailing weekend, so back in October, with the young people, and we were out on the Essex coast, that actually the London glow had disappeared. It was dark. You could look in the sky and see the stars. And people were pointing things out. Oh, that's the North Star, the Plough, the Taurus. You could see the stars. And this light ship that we were staying on was just moored in the harbour just off from the coast. And there was a gravel path between the ship and the coast. And the young people went to do something back on the shoreline in the evening, and I followed them down. I didn't have a torch. And suddenly that moment of, actually, it's quite dark. And I thought, I need to be quite careful here, because I'm going to end up with my feet in the harbour. Rather muddy and rather embarrassing. And it struck me, you see, true darkness is actually quite scary. When that point of going, actually, where you really do have to look where you're going, because otherwise you might fall in, is actually quite scary. Just think of what it would have been like to have lived before electricity or before gas lights. Darkness, I think, could be terrifying. And that's why in the Bible, darkness is always picked up as a theme of being away from God. Darkness is bad. Actually, darkness is not just being away from God, it's often a sign of the judgment of God. That's darkness. By contrast, God is light. And he is the source of all good things. You get this contrast out of the Bible. Darkness, away from God, the judgment of God. Light, being with God, being in the blessing of God. That's the images that get picked up. And it's those images that get picked up in this famous reading from Isaiah. Let's read again, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah the prophet, speaking several hundred years before Jesus Christ, was speaking to a people who were in a bad place. If you read the first 8 chapters of this book of Isaiah, you start to realize they're in a bad place, partly of course of their own actions. You see, they've been disobedient to God. They've not kept the law. They've not worshipped God, they've gone and worshipped other things. They've not cared for justice, they've ignored the weak, they've worshipped idols and neglected the poor. But at the heart of it is a complete failure to trust God. They have a king at this time, he's King Ahaz. You read about him in the Bible, he's a bad king. Everything about Ahaz is bad. He leads the people away from God. And instead of trusting God when the people are under attack, he goes and makes himself an alliance with a country called Assyria. And Isaiah comes and he sees this disobedience of the people and the disobedience of their king. And he says, I'm going to turn this Assyria, your alliance partner, into your enemy. And I'm going to use them to come in judgment. And so as we pick up this reading, that God's people, well, they're under attack from the king of Assyria. And under attack because God is using them to judge them for their disobedience to him. Chapter 8, verse 22, ends with a picture of what it looks like to walk away from God. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. And then they will be thrust into utter darkness. What a picture we have. A people oppressed by a foreign army, gone and walked away from God under a bad king. That is darkness. See why the image comes up? It's just bad. And extraordinary Isaiah 9 brings hope in this moment of darkness. See, the people are walking in darkness, they're living in a land of deep darkness, but they will see a great light. A light will dawn. Now, before we move to the light, I just wonder if it's worth reflecting. I wonder if we're a bit closer to Ahaz and the people of Israel back then than we sometimes might care to think. You see, we too at times have not worshipped God. We don't keep God's law. We don't care for justice. We ignore the weak and the vulnerable. We neglect the poor. We don't trust God. And we too rightly face the judgment of God. On our own steam, we too are walking in darkness. But the great news is, God has a plan, and he announces it through Isaiah with this famous Christmas reading that's read every Christmas, carol services all over the world. So a people in darkness, a light dawns, which brings, and then I think it's three very wonderful things. Firstly, a time of joy. Have a look with me, verse 3. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. See, the light dawns and we have a time of incredible, exuberant joy. There's a couple of wonderful pictures here. The firstly is the harvest. And again, we need to think self-sufficient culture of the day. You grow your crops all year. If you're going to survive in the winter, you need a harvest. As you can imagine what it's like, you've been growing your crops all year, they haven't been destroyed, the storms haven't got them, you bring it into your barns and you rejoice. You're going to live that winter. That's the picture. It's joy. This light is going to bring exuberant joy like when the harvest comes in. And then we get this picture of the soldiers. And again, we have this picture of the soldiers, they've been at war, they eventually capture whatever town or city they're trying to get to, and they're there dividing up the plunder, the gold, the silver, the animals, the jewels, whatever it might be. There's this picture of exuberant joy when the light comes. The light dawns and we have a time of joy. But the picture builds. Verse 4. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. The light dawns and brings the end of oppression. Again, just think about our context. The Assyrian army is attacking Israel. And God says that oppression will end. And of course, the reference here is to Midian. Just if you're thinking your Bibles, when's that? You've got to go back a bit of time to the time of the judges. And yet again, it was a time when God's people had been disobedient. Actually, they'd been so disobedient that God had handed them over this time to a people called the Midianites. And these people were oppressive. Now, the Bible says that God's people ended up hiding in mountains and caves because the Midianites were so oppressive. And yet, at that time, God rescued his people by raising up a rescuer or a judge called Gideon. And Isaiah says to the people, a day is coming when oppression will be ended. You will be set free. So that's the second picture, the end of oppression. And then we get the third picture, verse 5. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Just note the use of the word every here. Every warrior's boot, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. When we do it all age with all the children in this evening, I've got a sword, I've got a knight's costume, and my plan is to try and borrow the Citadel's barbecue. I'm not actually going to burn them, but I'm going to put them in it. But it is that idea of they're going to get burnt up. All the weapons of war burnt up, because it's going to bring about world peace when this light comes. Can you imagine that? Every tank, every gun, every warship, every plane, every soldier's uniform burnt up and destroyed. That's the picture that Isaiah is giving of what the light will bring. This is great news, isn't it? For people living in darkness, under the oppression of the Assyrians, he is promising them this wonderful picture, a time of joy, the end of oppression and world peace. But the question is, how's it going to happen? And they'll probably be thinking it's going to happen in their time. Instead, we get another picture. verse 6, probably one of the most famous Bible verses in the Old Testament. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A child is coming. It is this child that will bring joy, the end of oppression and world peace. And the child, we learn, is a son. The child is a Wonderful Counselor. The child is Mighty God himself. The child is the Prince of Peace. The child is an Everlasting Father. Now, we don't even have time to begin this morning to unpack each one of those, but each of them themselves are wonderful pictures, aren't they? And for those of us here who know Jesus Christ, they are wonderful pictures of him. Jesus is that counselor, the one who gives wise teaching. He is God himself, demonstrated by his miracles. He is the Prince of Peace. He will be, through his death and resurrection, able all people to be able to come and be in right relationship with God and with one another. The one that seems slightly confusing is how is Jesus the Everlasting Father? And I just thought I'd say a word on that. And I think the key is that many kings at the time would have seen themselves as a sort of father figure. They are the father to the people and to the captives as well that they held. And therefore I wonder if the stress here is more on the everlasting nature than the father nature. See, this son will be everlasting, one who will care for his people. See, Isaiah is pointing the people of his day forward. So the New Testament picks up that Jesus is this son. See, the way out of darkness is through a light, which is a person, Jesus. And Jesus himself will enable us to experience those three blessings. In this season of Advent, we remember that Jesus came the first time, and that Jesus is coming back. And we need to therefore remember that we see some of those blessings in part now, but we'll see them fully, won't we, when Jesus returns. Let's just think through them. That time of joy. Well, there is joy now for the believer, for the person following Jesus Christ, because we can know God. We can be forgiven for our disobedience and have a relationship with God. And what's more, we can have the hope of eternal life. There is joy to be had now in the Christian life. But we know that life is still hard. But one day will come when Jesus will return and we will know true joy of seeing him face to face. Jesus will bring joy. Secondly, Jesus is the one who ends oppression. So our oppression and our slavery is to desires and a pattern of life that takes us far from God. It's what the Bible calls sin. Jesus comes to set us free. Set us free so that we no longer have to walk away from him, but we can come back and have a relationship with him and please him in how we live. Change is now possible by the work of the Holy Spirit. But again, we see that in part now. But there will be a day will come when we will know complete freedom in Jesus Christ. Finally, Jesus is the light. He will bring world peace. On one level, we can have peace now. Peace now in the sense that we can be in a rightful relationship with God. We won't face his judgment. We won't be cast out into the darkness. Jesus, the light has come. So we can be in a right relationship with him. And that begins to start then, meaning we can have peace with other people. And Jesus is the first one to call us to be peacemakers. But that one day will also come when all wars will end. But only when Jesus returns. And he brings about true world peace. So friends, as we come to this Advent season and the children come back in with this Christingles, reminding us that Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light for all of us walking in darkness. So my first question is, do you know this Jesus who brings joy, freedom and peace this Christmas? If not, can I encourage you to spend some time thinking about it? We're going to be running a course in the new year called Life Explored. Some of the flyers about it at the back. There's also a little clipboard to sign up. We're going to start it. It's going to run Thursdays, starting on the 11th of January. We're going to do a morning course which will be here at St Peter's, and we'll put on a creche for that if that's for you. We're also going to run an evening course. And that will be just a chance to ask the big questions of life. But ultimately, what is the best gift God could give us? I believe it is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. So why not find out more about Jesus this Christmas time? And secondly, and for everyone, as we go into this Advent season, as we think about Jesus' first coming and get ready for Christmas, and also think about his return, do we need to reflect again on these verses? Do we need to reshape how wonderful Jesus is? Maybe we need to commit to praying that we'd know more of that joy, and that joy will be within and amongst us. Praying again for that freedom to live as God would want, and that we would be peacemakers in this world. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, our light has dawned. He has come. Jesus is the light of the world. Let's pray.